Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Our scripture today is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, 29 through 33. It really speaks to what the Great Commission is for each and every one of us, and that is to share the good news. And it's not just good news, it's the best news ever of what God's done in our life if you really experience spiritual transformation. Our scripture reads, "And now, Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. The believers shared their possessions. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. May God bless you hearing, your understanding, and application of Scripture. Amen. We have Mary in the house. Let's give her a transformation, enthusiastic welcome. I'm going to invite her up here. Come on up here, Mary. And I'm going to pray with her, and then I'm going to introduce her. All right, so go ahead and be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mary, and we thank you for her family that attended and her friends that came to support her. And we thank you that the life she lives, I've known her for almost four decades. I've watched what you've done in her life, and I've always been a fan, and I'm glad to call her friend and a sister in Christ, but just an ultimate example of what it means to live a Jesus-centered life. And so we're glad she's here this morning. We know that you will use her in a mighty way. We pray that your Holy Spirit speaks through her and gives her courage to share what you need her to share today, and that we have ears to hear what she has to hear, but more importantly, a willingness and an open mind and the honesty to put it into action. So we pray for her boldly, and we lift her up. It's in your name we pray these things. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, friend, we got Mary in the house. I've known Mary a long time. This is Testimony Sunday. I'm excited she came, despite the weather, despite the challenges we have. We're glad you're here. I know you'll do great, and look forward to hearing what God's got to say through you. So with that, give it up for Mary as she comes up here.
Thanks, Mary. My first time with one of these things. I guess you guys can hear me okay, right? Yeah. So I brought my phone up here for two reasons. One, because I want to keep an eye on the time. But two, is I wanted to read what Harold had put out. He had asked me a couple of months ago if I would share my testimony. And I was at a work retreat when I got this text message. And there's a... my boss, actually, and he's a very much faith-filled person. And I'm like, look at what he asked me to do. He's like, well, are you going to say yes? And it didn't dawn on me to not say yes, because I have been given so much, and my life is so different through my relationship with God. I would not dream of saying no. And you know, as I stand here, you know, nervous and shaking, I told my husband on the way here, I said, yeah, I think, you know, I'm going to share about how much peace I've gained and how I don't have anxiety anymore while I'm standing here having an anxiety attack. So here we are. But, you know, God uses us. And so then Harold doubled down with this flyer that he put out, and he said, you know, introduced me and shares her powerful journey of faith and perseverance. And my thought was, well, I'm just an everyday person. That's kind of overselling it a little bit. But then, so he asked me if it was okay if he shared that, and I almost asked him to, like, kind of dial it down a little bit, and I thought, no, I mean, it is powerful. I'm an everyday person. It is, my journey has been powerful. And then he doubled down again last night on Facebook. I don't know if you guys follow him on Facebook, but, you know, then he said, a powerful testimony of faith, transformation, and redemption. Her story is a testament to the life-changing power of Jesus and the hope found in a relationship with God. And that is all true today. And four decades. Jeez Louise, I mean, we're old. We are old. And my dearest, oldest friend, Dana, is here, and she has been with me. We've known each other since I was about 15 years old, and has been a huge part of my journey to faith. And, you know, I was one of these, I did not grow up in one of those families that went to church on Sunday and prayed before bed and prayed before meals. And, you know, that just wasn't who we were. And you know, I think my mother had a belief in God. Both of my parents were raised with a belief in God, but it wasn't part of our daily life. It was just, we were very much in the world, and we were very much, you know, just working through day to day, trying to get through the day. But I did, I had a grandmother who, she was an Episcopalian, and she went to church on Sundays and she went to church on Wednesdays. And that was my mom's mom. And I know that woman prayed for me every day of my life. There is no doubt in my mind. And she made sure that we had Bible storybooks, and she made sure that we had children's Bibles. And when we would go visit her in California, she'd take us to church. And my mom's stepmother lived in Cape Girardeau, and she went to a some sort of evangelical church. I'm not exactly sure what the details were, but we'd go visit Grandma in Cape Girardeau, and she would take us to church, and I would spend summers there, and I'd go to vacation Bible school. And so there were all these seeds being planted throughout my life. And then my dad's mom was a devout Catholic, and so we'd go visit Grandma in Nashville, and we'd go to the Catholic church, and we'd kneel down and stand up and do all kinds of things that I didn't understand. And you know, they had me baptized as a baby in the Catholic church, and so I was exposed to an understanding of God. I was exposed to Jesus through stories. I knew stories about, you know, David and Goliath, and I knew about Noah's Ark. And I knew about, you know, some of the Jesus miracles. And I would go to church with friends who were of that type of family that, you know, took their kids to church on Sunday. And I'd go with them. And, you know, and so those were all seeds that were planted. But again, it was not part of my normal life. And, you know, throughout my life, what, you know, I have shared in a number of times my faith journey. Through recovery from the disease of alcoholism. And so I've shared in a general way what my faith story is. And I was really excited to be able to share in a more specific way with you here today about how God led me to AA, and AA led me to God, and then God led me to Jesus and to the church. I mean, it's just it's a big part of my recovery in my daily life. And So I was about, there were a couple of times as a child where we did go to church. I think we would have a lot of challenges in my home, and my mom would just not know what to do with, you know, her philandering alcoholic husband and these four kids that she had. And so I remember clearly in third grade, she took us, I was in third grade, and I had a couple of, a younger brother and sister and an older brother, and so she took us all to church, and we went to Sunday school, and, you know, and so seeing the little girl come up here and light the candles brought me back to that time. And again, seeds being planted. And when I was, when I was probably, I was 14 or 15, and things had gotten really rough in my home, and the disease of alcoholism was prevalent throughout our family tree. But my mom took us to Alateen because she didn't know what to do with us. So Alateen is for families, particularly teenage members of people who have alcoholism in their family. So it's recovery from that. And I remember I was exposed to the 12 steps, and, you know, they talked about a higher power, and they talked about finding a higher power. And there would be examples given. It could be whatever higher power you want. It could be a doorknob. And I always heard this. Do you remember the doorknob? I mean, I would always, you know, hear it could be a doorknob. And I thought, well, that's, I don't think that's the thing. But, you know, so I knew there was a God. I was exposed to the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, but you know, life was life, and I turned my will and my life over to the care of alcohol, drugs, men, whatever it would take to get me out of myself. I was just not in a good place. And when I was about I was a senior in high school, and my parents got divorced. My dad moved in with the woman who would become my stepmother. My mother moved out of town, and so I was left alone. I had the man that I had been dating, the boy. He was a year behind me in high school, and I was alone. And I really turned deeply to alcohol, to drugs, to that relationship. And then when he left, I felt completely and totally alone. And you know, that kind of escalated my my drinking. It escalated my turning to whatever I could turn to. I, you know, still tried to work steps. I still tried to gain some recovery, but I couldn't get there. And I would go to the bookstore and I would read all these self-help books, and I would read all these, you know, some religious books, some spiritual books. I was looking for something, and until I was able to admit that I had a problem with alcohol, I wasn't able to get there. And once I was willing to admit that I was powerless over alcohol, and that if I didn't do something different, that I was not, I was going to end up how I always ended up, and that was pitiful and alone and afraid, and I didn't want to be there. And so I jumped in with both feet to a discipline around finding a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. And so what that looked like to me was daily prayer and meditation. And I didn't know what I was praying to or who I was praying to. I knew that there was a God. I had no issue with believing there was a God. I didn't know the details of that. And what my prayer and meditation looked like was, you know, in the morning I would wake up and I would, you know, read something out of a, like a daily reflection book, and then I'd write a letter to God, dear God. And normally it was all about, you know, this anger and anxiety and just all these things of the world that were on me. And you know, and so I found a relationship with God that way, and I did that regularly, and found a relationship with God where I really believed that if I was a good girl and did what I was supposed to do and helped others and prayed, and that everything would go my way. I mean, I really kind of believed that that was, you know, the promise that I was given, that, you know, if I did right, then God would give me. I had no concept of grace at that point, and you know, the free gift that God gave us in his son for forgiveness of everything. But that would come later. So that was a great start for me, that immature but beginning of a relationship with God. So I went along like that for a few years, and I had a great life, and I got married, and I had a child. And when my son was one, when I was pregnant with him, my mother-in-law had gotten sick with breast cancer. She was 49 years old, and there was no part of me that believed that this woman would pass of the disease of breast cancer. There was just, because it was unfathomable to me that something like that could happen, and she did. She passed away of breast cancer at 49 years old when my son was one, and she was a good grandmother, and she was a good mother to her son, and she had found sobriety. And so there was, I mean, like I said, no part of me believed that a God that I loved and that cared for me and cared for my family would let something like that happen. And so I didn't consciously turn away, but I turned away, and I was kind of on my own for a while. And I remember one night thinking, my husband was out of town, and my son had, I just put him down to bed, and I remember thinking, you know, maybe this God thing isn't really a thing. Maybe really everything that happens is a consequence of something else. Maybe everything is cause and effect. Maybe there isn't really a God. And the next thought that I had that crowded out those thoughts were, well, what about miracles? And with that thought, with that what about miracles, because I knew that there were things that I could see in my life and in other people's lives that could only be explained by a miracle, that, you know, there was absolutely no sense that something like that had happened. And so that thought is what enabled me to turn back and to really dig into, okay, I guess there is a God, so let me, and I got back to my daily discipline of doing a little reading, doing some writing, and talking to people about their relationship with God. So I spent about, I've spent about 30, 35 years looking for a relationship and working through a relationship with God. I've spent about 22 years following Jesus. And the way that that came about, and I was in my regular period of prayer and meditation, and the thought that I had that crowded out all the other thoughts was, you need to know my son. And it wasn't an emotional, blinding flash of the light. It was just a quiet, you need to know my son. And I knew what that meant. I knew, because all the seeds had been planted all my life, I knew that Jesus was God's son. And God wanted me and was directing me to know his son. And so what that meant to me was that I had Bibles. I picked up a Bible. I started reading. I started writing down things from the Bible that resonated with me. I found friends who went to church, and I started church shopping. Because, you know, there's God and there's Jesus and there's lots of different flavors of religion. And so I went, I knew I wanted to go to a church so I could learn about Jesus. And I wanted to give my son better than what I had growing up. I wanted him to be able to go and learn about Jesus. And I didn't know enough to teach him. So I went to a few churches. I went visiting with friends, and you know, those that had all these rituals that seemed to exclude me. I didn't know what they were doing, and there were rituals. I went to the Episcopal Church. This particular one on Communion Sunday, they said, if you've been baptized, you're welcome to come up and take communion. Which meant to me that if I had a family member or friends that came to church with me that weren't baptized, they weren't welcome. There were other churches that, you know, for a variety of reasons, just didn't feel right. And I do believe, I mean, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit teaches us. And if I listen well, that I can hear him. And I ended up at a United Methodist church, at Kirkwood United Methodist. A friend of mine had invited me to go with her, and then she didn't show up. And then I went anyway. And this particular service was in the basement, and there was a group of people that had just gotten back from a mission trip, and they were just, you know, on fire. They were excited. And it was Communion Sunday, and what they said was, everybody's welcome at God's table. And that, to me, was like, okay, I found where I can come back to. And so I kept going back, and I kept going back. And the other thing that I heard at that church was that, you know, I get confused sometimes because there's, you know, depending on who you talk to, there's all these rules. And the Bible says this, and so this is what this means. And we got to hate these people because of this thing over here. These people are condemned because of this reason. And, you know, and there are things that just didn't feel right to me, but I couldn't explain why. But, you know, in the Methodist Church, what I learned was that, you know, and Harold, if I'm wrong, I assume you're going to tell me, my experience with God comes one from Scripture. So it is written in the Bible, and so it is from Scripture. It is from tradition. So it's people that have come before me and have learned. You know, you talked about the early church, and we're not there anymore. But there is just so much beauty to what occurred during the early church. But the other part of that was based on reason. God gave me this brain, and I'm expected to use it. I don't need to swallow wholesale what somebody has told me without thinking about it and really understanding using my reason, my God-given reason. And then the other one is experience. And what that says to me is that my experience counts, my experience with God. It's not what everybody else is proclaiming. It is what I personally have experienced. And so I jumped into this church with both feet, and I had my son baptized in the church, and you know, we would go to church and they'd say, oh, well, there's, you know, a nursery over here, and I'm like, I don't know you people, I'm not leaving my son in the nursery. And so we'd go to church together, and I'd always want to sit in the back because, you know, he was a toddler, he was, you know, could be a little bit rambunctious, and he always wanted to sit right in the front row because he wanted to see what, you know, the action was. And one of the membership coordinator, she was such a dear woman, but she said, you know, all he can see from the back are the backs of people's heads. If you move up a little bit further, he might be a little bit more interested. And, you know, and so that's what I did. And then she asked me, she said, we have a need in first grade Sunday school. Could you be a first grade Sunday school teacher? And I was like torn. I'm like, well, I don't know anything about teaching these children. And that's what I told her. I'm not your person. I don't know, you know, how to do that. She's like, oh, well, you don't need to know anything. We've got a curriculum and there's another teacher there. And all you have to do is show up and do this. And, you know, and so that started my journey of teaching Sunday school. And so I got to learn about Jesus by teaching little children about Jesus. So I was teaching first grade Sunday school. My son went to kindergarten, so he started going to the kindergarten Sunday school. And then, you know, over a period of years, I just, you know, I learned as I went. And I did Bible studies. I did Bible studies with my friend's church. I did Bible studies at my church. I read the Bible. I had this one Bible that in the back, if you're angry, if you're afraid, if you're, you know, it had all these emotions and all these things that we deal with in this world, and it would like show me where to go in the Bible to read about it. So I would, you know, I would look up what I was going through and I would go to the Bible and I would write things down on note cards and put them around the house. And, you know, there are some things that are still just a regular touchstone for me today. And one of them we touched on a little bit in the reading. But when I am, you know, this world is broken and there are things that happen. And, you know, there was a period of time in my journey where I could not believe that God let things happen the way that things happen, because there are some pretty rotten things that can go on. And you know, I decided you know, at one point it was either God was not all powerful or he was a jerk. I mean, it's, you know, this is where I was in my journey. And I decided that, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to know all the answers while I'm, you know, on this earth. I do not need to know the answers. And to me, that's what the faith is. It's not knowing. Faith is different from knowing. So one of the things when I'm feeling hopeless or I'm feeling like I'm not sure what's going on, you know, there's a verse that says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And that is what I cling to. And I share that with people that I care for that are going through things. I don't know what God has planned for me, but he knows what he has planned for me, and it's going to be good. And the other thing that, you know, another one that just really sticks with me, I am a person who, left to my own devices, am full of fear and full of anxiety. And even in my journey of faith, even in my journey of a relationship with God and following Jesus, I have been filled with fear and anxiety. I have woken up in the middle of the night, not been able to go back to sleep because I was so anxious. You know, the verse that sticks with me on that is that, you know, God did not create in us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I know that if I am not of a sound mind, or that if I am in fear, that is not coming from God. And this I know today. And so that's a touchstone for me. And that's something that I remind myself of on a pretty regular basis. Now, I can tell you that this world distracts me sometimes. And so there are times where I have been much less God-centered and much less faith-centered than other times in my journey. And 2016, 2017 is kind of when, you know, there was a turning point in my life. And one of the pastors at my old church, he was the youth pastor, and he was a great guy to ask questions of. I mean, all my dumb questions, I could go to Jess, and Jess would, you know, talk to me about things. And, you know, and I don't know how we got on the discussion, but he said there is a turning point oftentimes with families that are in church, and when their child goes off to college, that oftentimes is when you see an adult church member fall away from the church. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen to me. I mean, that's, you know, I'm teaching Sunday school and I'm doing the thing. And, you know, and then so my son graduated from high school and went off to college, and we decided at the same time to sell our house and move to a different area. And so I decided, well, maybe I should find a new church. So that meant I was like between churches for a couple of years. I had quit teaching Sunday school. And so I had quit doing all of the things that kept me centered and with God. You know, there was, I was not of sound mind, shall we say, during that period of time. And you know, fortunately, in my experience, God meets me right where I am. God meets me broken. God meets me afraid. God meets me in my addiction. God meets me where I am, and he helps me get to the next place. And that was true during this particular time in my life as well. And it was we started like shopping churches again. I decided, I moved to this different area, and so I'm going to try some different churches. And I mean, there's some beautiful people in some beautiful churches, but my experience was the same. I went to one, and they're talking about politics from the pulpit. I'm like, that's not for me. And and another one, we walked out behind an Elvis impersonator, and there's nothing wrong with Elvis impersonators, but that's just that's. It didn't speak to me, and so we ended up at another United Methodist Church that, that one was not a good fit for us, and so I didn't go very often. And then COVID came. It was 2020, and my life fell apart. It was one of the most fearful times that I have experienced, and what that did was it drove me back to interaction, to going to more AA meetings, which led me to God, which led me to Jesus, which led me to the church, and so 2021-2022 jumped back into another church home, and we had been going a few weeks, I had been going a few weeks, and they said, we need 12 people to volunteer to be Sunday school teachers. Who can volunteer? And so I find myself once again learning about Jesus by teaching children about Jesus. I had first grade for a couple of years at my old church, and then I had toddlers, and I loved those toddlers. And really, it ended up being me developing the curriculum, and it was easy because I just would pick a story, and then I would go to Pinterest and find a craft, and then I would have a snack, and we would read about Jesus, and I figured if I planted those seeds, then I was doing my job as a teacher. So I was with the toddlers for a while, and then this church, I told them, put me where you need me. So I've been teaching the kindergarten and first graders. I guess I've, evolved in my faith a little bit. And this month, what we're learning about are some of the miracles of Jesus. And the first week, we talked about how Jesus turned water into wine because his mother asked him to. I had never looked at that story from that perspective. But, Jesus wasn't sure that it was time to do, perform his miracles. But his mother asked him to, and he trusted his mother, and so he did it. And so that was, that was the lesson for the kids, was that you listen to God through the people around you that you can trust. And I know next week we're talking about the when Jesus fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of barley bread, and because a little boy brought his lunch and was asked to give it up so that he could feed 5,000 people. So I get to learn those stories, I get to teach those stories, and I get to see what those stories really mean in my day-to-day life. I don't know that there's much more that I can tell you, except that, what my journey has been is that God meets me as long as I'm willing, a little bit willing. That's all I have to be, is a little bit willing. God meets me right where I am. There are people in my life, and there are structures in my life that allow me to learn more about God, that follow God more. I have people in my life that have been through tremendous situations and pain and suffering and loss and illness, and I see the example that they set, and that they still set their mind to God, and they still set their mind to Jesus, so I'm going to keep doing that too. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Harold, thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025, and we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformerlife.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God.